So I'm very happy to be with all of you. This is the quick way to be with all the devotees in Manchester, going online, Zoom. It's not exactly the same, but still we're here together having Krishna Katha, remembering the Vaishnavas and having Kirtan, so it's all perfect. And I hope you're all safe and well at home. I'm speaking to you from the manor. Of all the places in the whole world, the best place to be locked down is in the manor. Locked down at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. So we're very fortunate. Every day we're getting all the Mahaprasad because there's no guests in the temple. We're getting the opportunity to do some pujari service every day for their lordships, taking care of the cows and so many things. So we're very fortunate, and we're hoping that the manor will be open very soon so all of you can come here again and we can all be together. So I was thinking which topic to speak about today, and I thought about doing a different type of topic. And May is a very wonderful month. It's my birthday in May. Just in case you missed it, you can give me a present later. More important than my birthday is that in May, it's the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev. But there's also another very auspicious day that takes place in May, because May is the month in which His Grace Jayananda Prabhu departed from this world. Okay, so I don't know how many of you on this call are familiar with Jayananda Prabhu. I'm sure many of you have heard of him, but it's very nice to remember his life and remember the teachings from his life, because they're very, very relevant for us. So today I will share with you a presentation on Jayananda Prabhu. Guru Nataraj Prabhu, have you ever had a talk on Jayananda Prabhu in Manchester congregation?
No, Prabhu, we have never. Not heard. Yeah, okay. Never heard. Like, there was a discussion a little bit, but not a full-fledged presentation.
Okay, so that's what I'll do today then. And as we're talking about Jayananda Prabhu, I'll share with you many of his amazing qualities. And what I want you all to think about is, how do these qualities relate to your life? And it will be very nice if at the end we can have a discussion, questions and answers. And we really try to bring it practically so that we can improve in our own spiritual life and get closer to Krishna. So I'm going to share a PowerPoint. Is that okay? Yeah. Guru Nataraj Prabhu, you have to give me the rights. And you have to make me like a presenter or a host. And in that way, then I'll be able to share my screen.
Are you not able to do now?
I can't, because it says that the host has disabled participant screen sharing.
So this goes out of my... I need to just bring Sumedha 1 second.
Okay, so while we wait for Sumedha to come, I'll just give an introduction to His Grace Jayananda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada had many incredible disciples. You see, a great person isn't just great in their own spiritual life. Thank you, Sumedha. I hope you can all see this presentation. Yeah?
Yes, Prabhu, we can see.
A Vaishnav is not just great in their own life. Their greatness is that they are able to make other people great as well. There was two prime ministers. One prime minister was Churchill and the other one was Disraeli. So they used to say, when you went into a room with Churchill and you came out, you thought, you came out of the room thinking, that man is brilliant. They said, when you went into the room with Disraeli and you came out, you thought, that man is brilliant, and maybe I could also be brilliant. And they say that's the difference between a good leader and a great leader. That's the difference between a good speaker and a great speaker. A good leader will impress you, but a great leader will empower you. A good speaker may give you some interest, but a great speaker will inspire you to change your life. And Srila Prabhupada was the best leader, the best speaker, the best preacher, because not only was he amazing, but he made amazing devotees. So sometimes people say, oh no, there's no pure devotees after Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was the only pure, there's no other pure devotees after him. But this is not a glorification of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's greatness, Prabhupada's purity was that he was able to make many, many other devotees pure. And Jayananda was one such devotee. Srila Prabhupada said, Jayananda Prabhu is the first saint in ISKCON. Jayananda Prabhu passed away from the world in 1977, some months before Srila Prabhupada passed away. And Prabhupada, when he heard that Jayananda Prabhu had passed away from the world, he said, I want you to commemorate Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance just as we would commemorate the disappearance of any acharya in our lineage. Can you imagine? Srila Prabhupada gave him that level of respect that yes, Jayananda Prabhu was the first saint in ISKCON. Jayananda Prabhu is an amazing devotee because he wasn't a sannyasi. He wasn't a big leader. He wasn't a GBC or a temple president. He wasn't even someone who had some amazing abilities to speak and preach. But what made Jayananda Prabhu amazing was his service attitude and his humility. You can have a position. You can be a sannyasi. You can have so much knowledge. You can have so many abilities. But if you don't have service attitude and humility, all of that practically doesn't mean anything. And if you don't have any of those things, no position, no title, no status, no fame, no great amazing abilities, but you have service attitude and humility, then you have everything. And so what makes Jayananda Prabhu so amazing is that he was recognized as someone who was incredible simply on the basis of his character. And when we go through his life, you realize how amazing Jayananda Prabhu is. So this is Jayananda Prabhu. You can see this is a wonderful painting of him. Yeah. So don't never underestimate the devotees. Srila Prabhupada once said, many people are entering the room, so I'm just letting them in. Like there are many devotees on this call, Meenakshi, Nisha, Radha Mohan Prabhu, Madhav Kumar, Bharti, Chandravali. And Prabhupada said, if you knew who the devotee next to you is in the spiritual world, you would faint. Because sometimes we don't even know who the Vaishnavas next to us are. We underestimate them. We think, oh, they're just some practicing devotee. But every Vaishnava is special. And every Vaishnava does special things. So Jayananda Prabhu was an incredible person. This is, I'm just going to go through some of the life of Jayananda Prabhu so you understand. This is Jayananda Prabhu. He grew up in New York, America, in the 1960s. This picture is taken from?
He's doing from Manama, teacher.
Yes. Usha, if you can just mute yourself, yeah? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. This is Jayananda Prabhu. He grew up in an American family, middle-class family. On the left, you can see this is him as a boy with his mother and father. He grew up in a very good family. Later on, he became a cab driver, a taxi driver. So later on, one devotee had asked him, you grew up in such a good family, everything. How come you ended up being a taxi driver? He said, I never fitted in with the upper class crowd so much. I never felt comfortable with these very opulence and all of these things. I wanted to live a very simple life. Jayananda Prabhu, even from his young age, he was very, very simple. He said that as a boy, once the family went on a holiday, and Jayananda Prabhu, you can see him here on the left as a boy, he saw a dog, and this dog had many flies that was eating fleas. You know, their dogs sometimes get fleas. So Jayananda Prabhu, as a boy, he felt so much compassion for this dog that he took the dog and he started taking all the insects out because he didn't want the dog to suffer. Even from a young age, many of his saintly qualities were coming out. So later on in Jayananda Prabhu's life, he was a cab driver, but he actually became very unhappy in his life. He felt, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose? What is the point of all these material things? He never saw any interest in that. He never took any, he was not excited by material achievements. So in his life, he became somewhat a little bit depressed. And then he said, in 1967, I opened the newspaper. One day, as I was feeling very down, I opened the newspaper, and what did he see? He saw a picture of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And it was advertisement, Swami holding classes on the Bhagavad Gita in New York, Lower East Side, 26 2nd Avenue. So Jayananda Prabhu, he said, as soon as I saw Srila Prabhupada's photo, I immediately got immense hope in my heart that maybe this person can change my life. So he went along to the New York temple and he met Srila Prabhupada. This is Jayananda Prabhu with Srila Prabhupada in the early days. And Jayananda Prabhu fell in love with Srila Prabhupada. He said, sometimes I would come in the morning and I was the only one there for Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class. Because many hippies were staying in the temple and many hippies were coming, but they would not come in the morning. It was too early for them. But Jayananda Prabhu, he was not a hippie. He was a taxi driver. And he was a little bit older. So he used to come in the morning to hear Srila Prabhupada. And he said, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would be giving Bhagavatam class and it was only me and Srila Prabhupada. And when the class would end, Srila Prabhupada would sit me down and he would feed me prasadam. So much prasadam he would give me, more and more and more. He said, practically, Srila Prabhupada conquered me just by giving me so much prasadam. And in this way, Jayananda Prabhu developed a very, very beautiful relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Jayananda donated his entire savings. He had an entire savings of $5,000. $5,000 in those times is a lot of money. He donated all of those $5,000 to allow Srila Prabhupada to print his first edition of the Bhagavad Gita. And like this, Jayananda, who was Jim before, he became initiated as Jayananda by Srila Prabhupada in New York. And in this way, he began rendering different services to Srila Prabhupada. One of the most important instructions that Jayananda Prabhu received from Srila Prabhupada was that Srila Prabhupada wanted to established the Rath Yatra festival all over the world. When Srila Prabhupada went to Jagannath Puri, later on this was, and in the Jagannath Puri temple, they would not allow the devotees, the Western devotees to come inside the temple. They would say, no, no, Jagannath, only Hindus can come in. Only Indians can come in. And Srila Prabhupada was very angry at the pandas in the Jagannath temple. He said, these devotees, they've given their life to Jagannath. They're spreading Jagannath's glories. How is it you don't let them to go and see Jagannath? Jagannath is not the god of Hindus. Jagannath is not the god of Indians. Jagannath means the Lord of the whole universe. So you should let the whole universe to come and see Jagannath. But they would not allow Western people to come into the temple, and even to this day they don't allow. And therefore Srila Prabhupada was so upset that he said, I myself will not go into the Jagannath temple. If they will not allow my Western devotees who have given their lives for Krishna, if they will not allow them to go in, I will not go in. But what I will do is I will bring Jagannath to the whole world. And therefore, what Srila Prabhupada wanted to do was establish Rath Yatra at every city in the whole world. And the first major instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave to Jayananda Prabhu, he said, Jayananda, I want you to build the Rath Yatra carts. Just as the carts are there in Jagannath Puri, I want you to build these carts so that we can make Jagannath Rath Yatra all over the world. So when Jayananda Prabhu got this instruction from Srila Prabhupada, he took it to heart. You see, the instruction of the spiritual master is very, very powerful. When we have gurus in our lives and they give us guidance, they give us instructions, and we take those instructions very, very seriously, and we try to follow those instructions with great determination and enthusiasm, then from following those instructions, all spiritual strength, all spiritual advancement, all spiritual inspiration, and all spiritual relationship with Krishna comes. So Jayananda Prabhu, when he got this instruction from Srila Prabhupada, he just took it as his life and soul. And Jayananda Prabhu worked so hard to make these Rath Yatra carts. He said that in the run-up to festivals of Rath Yatra, sometimes Jayananda Prabhu would be so busy that practically he would only sleep for 2 or 3 hours every day, because he would be serving so hard-working service he was doing to build the Rath Yatra carts. One time a devotee said to Jayananda Prabhu, how is it that you have become so advanced, Jayananda Prabhu? Jayananda said, I don't know. I'm too busy to think about it. I'm too busy to think about it. Because he was so busily engaged in serving Krishna that in that service, everything that he required was given by Krishna from within. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, how do you manage to remain so fixed in your spiritual life? And you know what Srila Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, I was never a lazy person. I was always working very, very hard. Every moment I was always thinking to engage it in Krishna's service. So one of the first lessons we learn from Jayananda Prabhu's life is that one should be very, very hard working in Krishna consciousness. One should not waste time. Time is the most valuable asset that we have. Chanakya Pandit says, Ayushakshana e gopi na labhya swarna koti bi na cha nirarthakam niti ka chaha nistatodhika. Ayushakshana e gopi, even one moment of time, na labhya swarna koti bi, you cannot buy it back, even if you have millions of gold coins. Therefore, what can be more valuable in this world than our own time? Therefore, Jayananda Prabhu was never wasting time. He was always very, very hard working. Even sometimes Srila Prabhupada would call that I want to see Jayananda Prabhu. But Jayananda Prabhu was so hard working, he said, I'll do my service. I don't want to disturb Srila Prabhupada. My connection with Srila Prabhupada is by doing my service. So he would be very humble. He would not go to Srila Prabhupada. One day Srila Prabhupada was leaving San Francisco and he said, I will not leave until I see Jayananda Prabhu. So the devotees, they called Jayananda Prabhu. They said, you have to come and see Prabhupada. Jayananda said, no, I'll do my service. I've got so much service to do. They said, no, Prabhupada wants to see you. So Jayananda Prabhu came. He came into the room. As soon as he came into the room, Srila Prabhupada became so happy to see him, seeing all the sacrifices he was making. Jayananda Prabhu sat down right at the front. Srila Prabhupada began to give a lecture. And as Srila Prabhupada was giving the lecture, Jayananda Prabhu, because he was hard working, because he was working so hard, he began to fall asleep. in the lecture. So as one devotee right in front of Srila Prabhupada, so as one devotee saw Jayananda Prabhu sleeping, he just gave him a knock on the side. Hey, wake up. And as soon as the devotee knocked him like that, Prabhupada said, leave him. Let him sleep. He's doing so much work for Krishna. He's working so hard, it doesn't matter if he sleeps in the class. He's working harder than all of you put together. And this way, Srila Prabhupada so much appreciated that Jayananda Prabhu was so hardworking. And in this way, we learn from Jayananda Prabhu's life that we must not waste any time. Here is Jayananda Prabhu in the New York Rath Yatra. And you can see many of these videos of the first Rath Yatra ceremonies where the devotees brought Jagannath out. Srila Prabhupada said, I want Jagannath to come out. Jagannath is the most merciful deity for different reasons. First reason why Jagannath is most merciful, you see Jagannath's eyes, they're very, very big. Because Jagannath is practically never sleeping. 22 hours in Jagannath Puri, you can see Jagannath. And Jagannath's eyes are very, very big because he's seeing any small service that someone does, he's seeing. Jagannath is very merciful because he is getting so much prasadam, bhoga, every day, and he's giving it to all the devotees as prasadam. So every day Jagannath gets chapan bhog, so many items, and all the devotees enjoy. If you go to Jagannath temple today, there's Anand Bazaar, the shop of bliss. All the mahaprasad comes from Jagannath. Jagannath is the most merciful because anyone can approach Jagannath, even the Sabaras, which are considered like a much lower caste in Indian caste system. Even they are allowed to come and serve. Jagannath is most merciful because it is said that his reciprocation with his devotees is very, very quick. If you begin to worship Jagannath, then he reciprocates very, very quick. And Jagannath is most merciful because he's the only form of the deity that comes out to see everyone. Otherwise, usually to get the mercy of the Lord, you have to go and see the Lord. But Jagannath is so merciful that he comes out to see everyone once a year in the Rath Yatra festival. So here you see Jayananda Prabhu was the one who initiated this wonderful festival of Jagannath Rath Yatra. Here you see Jayananda Prabhu again. He was always doing whatever service was necessary. One amazing thing about Jayananda Prabhu is he was ready to do any service whatsoever. He was ready to give a class. He was ready to lead a kirtan. He was ready to manage. He was ready to go and do the fundraising. He was ready to go and build the carts, and he was even ready to take out the rubbish if it was required. One day, Jayananda Prabhu was taking out the rubbish, and a new boy came to the temple who was a little bit difficult to deal with. So when someone like that would come, then the temple president would say, you just go with Jayananda Prabhu, you'll get good association. So that day, Jayananda Prabhu was taking out all the rubbish, so this new boy came to join him. Jayananda Prabhu was blissful. He was enthusiastic. He was taking all the rubbish out. He was singing. He was so happy doing this menial service of taking the rubbish out. And this boy was with him the whole day. At the end of the day, the boy came back to the temple president and the boy said, I want to join the temple. Temple president said, wow, how did you make such a decision? He said, it was easy. He said, the whole day I've been with this person, Jayananda. He's the guy that takes the trash out, the rubbish out in the temple. And I tell you, this guy taking out the rubbish, Jayananda, he's so happy. He's so enthusiastic. He's so inspired. I'm thinking to myself, if the rubbish man, if the dustbin man in the temple is so happy, imagine what everyone else is like. So he said, I want to join the temple. That was Jayananda Prabhu. Enthusiastic to do any service required. You see, when we, Prabhupada often used this statement, do the needful. Sometimes we just do the services that we like, or sometimes we just do the services that we're inspired by, or sometimes we do the services that we know we'll get a lot of appreciation for. But Jayananda Prabhu was ready to do any service. Because once a devotee becomes more advanced, they realize more important than the specific service I'm doing is having the attitude of service, having the seva bhav. And the attitude of seva bhav means ready to do whatever is required. So Jayananda Prabhu was that person who was ready to do whatever was required. And that's what made him so amazing. Here is another beautiful picture of Jayananda Prabhu. Just see in this picture how he touched people's hearts. Jayananda Prabhu was so humble. A devotee is said in our shastras, there's no chance of developing love for Krishna if one does not first develop humility within the heart. There is no prema without dainya. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi sunichena tarodapi sahishnana. You must chant, but you must chant in a humble state of mind. So Jayananda Prabhu was so humble. He never criticized anyone. He always felt that I have so much to improve in myself. Where is the question of finding faults in others? Every time Jayananda Prabhu would go into a class, he would come out and he would think every point was for him. I need to change. I need to improve. I need to clear out and purify all the anarthas within my heart. Sometimes when we come out of a class, we think that was a good class for the guy next to me. Or yeah, I wish that person heard this class. They're so envious. They're so proud. They're so angry. They would have benefited a lot from this class. But not Jayananda Prabhu. He felt that every class was for him because he was so humble. He never put himself above others. When Jayananda Prabhu would walk into a room, everyone would bow down. Not because Jayananda was a sannyasi, not because he was a temple president, not because he was some famed person in ISKCON, but because everyone knew this is a genuinely advanced devotee because he's so humble. So Prabhupada once said, one's advancement is not known by their position, but is known by how much humility, genuine humility, is within their character. Humility comes from the word humus, which in Latin means soil. So a plant can only grow when it's in soil, isn't it? So similarly, the bhakti lata, the seed of devotion, the creeper of devotion can only grow in the heart, which is humble. If we're proud, then we will not be able to last in spiritual life. If we're proud, we may be able to last, but we'll never be able to learn. And even if we're able to learn, if we're proud, we'll never be able to genuinely love others. So one of the most amazing qualities of Jayananda Prabhu was his humility. He would touch people's hearts just by his pure and saintly character. Every year, Jayananda Prabhu would go to the police station to get the permits for the Rath Yatra. And there was one lady, she was so inimical. She would criticize the devotees, blaspheme the devotees. But Jayananda Prabhu would never react. He would always bring her prasadam. And finally, even through all of her negativity, he would manage to get the permit for the Rath Yatra and the festival would go on. So every year she was always like this, very, very negative. Then one year, obviously, Jayananda Prabhu passed away and one other devotee went to get the permit. So again, she was very negative. She was blaspheming the devotees and so many other things. And then as the devotee was walking out, she said, "Why have you come this year? Why hasn't Jayananda Prabhu come?" So the devotee said to this lady, very hard, tough, serious lady, he said, no, Jayananda Prabhu has passed away. And this lady broke down crying. She said, "Jayananda, he was the nicest person I ever met in my whole life." And the devotee was thinking, such a hard-hearted, critical lady who was always blaspheming the devotees, even Jayananda, by his purity, was able to make even her heart melt. Jayananda Prabhu, his personality was so heartwarming that people would become conquered. Once a devotee had left the temple, and of all jobs he could have taken up, he became a butcher. So Jayananda Prabhu found out that this devotee had left the temple and become a butcher. So he went to the shop where the devotee was working. He went into the shop. He said, "Where is this person?" The shopkeeper said, "Oh, he's in the back." So Jayananda Prabhu walked into the back of this butcher's shop. You can imagine, butcher shop. There were all these dead animals lying everywhere. It was smelling. There was, all of these people just slaughtering animals there. And then in the distance, he saw this devotee. And the devotee had a big knife in his hand. He had an apron on and it was filled with blood. And the devotee had become a butcher. And when Jayananda Prabhu saw him, you know what Jayananda Prabhu did? He just ran up to him and he hugged him. And he said, "Really nice to see you. We're all missing you. How are you doing? Here's some prasadam. Why don't you come back to the temple and we can, have a kirtan together." And like this, he just said all encouraging things. And he never once said to the devotee, "How can you do this activity? By doing this, you create so much sin. This is totally against our regulative principles. For whoever kills an animal, you have to take that many births in the, He never said any of that. He just gave the devotee so much love. And the devotee who had become a butcher became so touched by the love of Jayananda that he said, "I'll come back to the temple." Just because of his love and his purity of heart. So sometimes our character speaks louder than our words. Saint Francis of Assisi, he said, "I preach every day from morning to evening. I preach 7 days a week. I preach 52 weeks a year. And now and again, I say something." It's an interesting quote. He's making the point that my own life, my own example, my own character is my preaching. Sometimes we think preaching is the class that we give, or the knowledge that we give, or the advice that we give to someone else. But often what speaks louder than our words is our actions. And if our actions are bad, you may say the best things, but people will not be able to really hear it from you or become transformed by your words. Therefore, in another famous saying, the person says, "I cannot hear your words because your character is speaking so loud." So Jayananda Prabhu had such purity of character, no envy. Of the Goswamis, it said, "Dhira dhira jana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito." That the Goswamis, they were dear to everyone. Even the rough people, the envious people, the angry people, even they loved the Goswamis. Why? Nirmatsaro pujito, because they had no envy in their heart. As soon as we have envy, we can never really deeply connect with others. So one beautiful, another lesson from the life of Jayananda Prabhu is this wonderful character that he had. Here's another beautiful picture of Jayananda Prabhu. He was always out preaching, giving Krishna consciousness to others. Here you see him on Harinam. Jayananda Prabhu loved to give the holy name to people. Jayananda Prabhu loved to give people books. And Jayananda Prabhu loved very much to give people prasadam. Once he was driving on a motorway and he stopped and he put a picture of Krishna in front of the tree. And then he started ringing a bell. The devotee said, "What are you doing?" Jayananda Prabhu said, "I'm offering this whole fruit tree to Krishna, so that anyone in the future who comes along and takes a fruit from this tree will be taking prasadam." So imagine someone who is having such a consciousness, always thinking about how others can get mercy, how others can come closer to Krishna. This is the life of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada wanted everyone to give other people Krishna consciousness in whatever capacity you're able to do that. Every one of us can give Krishna consciousness to others. We can give someone a leaflet. We can give someone a book. We can give someone some prasadam. We can tell someone about the temple. We can go out on Harinam with the devotees. But each one of us, if we take a responsibility to try to give Krishna consciousness to others, then our own Krishna consciousness increases. Because when we give Krishna to others, we attract one priceless commodity in our spiritual life, and that priceless commodity is mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "I want to give this holy name to every person, to every corner of this universe. How can I do it alone?" Therefore, he requests his devotees, "Jare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyaya guru anatare edesh." Whoever you see, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. In this way, become a guru and help uplift the entire planet. So Jayananda Prabhu was always in this mood of trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. And one beautiful story, when he was once on the Rath Yatra site, many, many people would come and he would engage all of them in doing some service for Jagannath. So one day one boy came, he was just loitering there. So Jayananda Prabhu said, "Hey, come over, just come over for 1 second." So the boy came over. Jayananda Prabhu was working on Jagannath's Rath Yatra cart. So he said to the boy, "You hold this one nail. Just hold it for me. I want to hammer it in." So this boy did, "Okay, I'll hold it." So the boy held the nail and then Jayananda Prabhu hammered the nail in. And Jayananda Prabhu then looked at the boy and he said, "That was amazing. That was incredible. I mean, the way you held that nail without even blinking, that was truly a wonderful thing that you just did." And the boy was just thinking, "I just held a nail, it's not a big thing." But he was so overtaken by Jayananda's enthusiasm. And Jayananda then said to him, "You did that so well. Maybe you could just stay a little while longer and hold a few more nails for me. You're so good at it." But because Jayananda Prabhu was so loving and enthusiastic, the boy decided to stay. So he held one more nail. He held 10 more nails. He stayed for another hour. He ended up staying for the whole day. He ended up staying overnight. He ended up joining the temple. He ended up getting initiated by Prabhupada. He ended up becoming a brahmachari. He ended up even becoming a sannyasi. And he ended up even becoming a guru. And that devotee is His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. And how did it all begin? Because Jayananda just told him, "Hold a nail And he gave so much appreciation for this boy's service that the boy ended up staying. So this was Jayananda Prabhu. He was really just enthusing people to no end by his bhakti in Krishna consciousness. And here's a beautiful picture of Jayananda Prabhu, showing for me how simple Jayananda Prabhu was. Another great quality of Jayananda Prabhu was that he was very, very simple. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. Sometimes we make this process more complicated than it needs to be. Srila Prabhupada said, chant, dance, read the philosophy, take some prasadam, serve the Vaishnavas, and be very attentive to remain free from offense. If you do that much, you're guaranteed to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people think to advance in Krishna consciousness, I need to do something extraordinary. I need to do something outstanding that no one has ever done before. Actually, you don't need to. You just need to do the simple things that Srila Prabhupada has given, but do them with your heart, with determination, with purity. And this chanting, this serving, this remaining free from offending others, this complete combination will help one make complete advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, Jayananda Prabhu, many, many more stories we could tell. And one final story I'll tell you of Jayananda Prabhu, and then I'll open it up for questions. So if you have any questions, then please do gather your thoughts now, and then we can have some questions. But I'll tell you one final story of Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu lived by the principle, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Jayananda Prabhu never wanted to accept anything for his own selfish enjoyment. If you ever see pictures of Jayananda Prabhu, often you'll see that his clothes, you can see even in this picture, they're torn, they're dirty, they're often too small for him. The reason was because Jayananda Prabhu never wanted to spend one penny on himself. One day what happened is that Jayananda Prabhu was wearing trousers which were torn, ripped, had holes in them and were way too short for him. And the temple president said to Jayananda Prabhu, I want you to go and buy some new trousers. Jayananda Prabhu said, I can't go and spend Krishna's money on myself. The temple president said, I'm ordering you, Jayananda, you must buy some new trousers. So then he sent one devotee and he said, go with Jayananda and make sure he buys a new pair of trousers. Here's the money. So they went out into town. This boy went with Jayananda. They found the cheapest secondhand store. So they went into this secondhand store. Jayananda Prabhu looked through all the clothes and he found the cheapest pair of trousers. And he said, okay, I'll take these ones. So they were walking towards the checkout counter. And then Jayananda looked at this boy and he said, I think I can do it. The boy said, what do you mean? Jayananda Prabhu said, I think I can do it. I think I can put these trousers in my bag and steal the trousers. The boy said, we can't steal, we're devotees. Jayananda Prabhu said, I know we shouldn't steal, but this money, this is Krishna's money. How can I use Krishna's money for my own benefit? I can't bear to spend this money on myself. So I'm just going to try and steal the trousers. So Jayananda Prabhu put these trousers in his bag. He walked through without paying. He got outside the shop, but then the security caught him. They said, you've been stealing from the shop. Jayananda Prabhu said, guilty as charged. I have been stealing. They went to the court And then the judge said to Jayanand Prabhu, explain your situation. Jayanand Prabhu said, there's nothing to explain. I stole the trousers. The judge said, why did you steal the trousers? Jayanand Prabhu said, I couldn't spend this money on myself. With this $10, we could have bought something to feed others. With this $10, I could have bought a book to give someone spiritual knowledge. With $10, I could have done something to serve God. How could I spend this $10 on myself? And as the judge was hearing this, he thought, my God, I thought this person was a criminal. I thought he was a thief. But I've never met such a saintly person in my whole life. The judge looked at Jayananda and he said, the only punishment I can give you is that I have to ask you, you have to pay for these trousers. And the policeman who caught him, he was listening to the whole thing. The policeman jumped up and he said, I'll pay for the trousers. This man is a saint. I'll pay for the trousers. And this was Jayananda Prabhu's mood, that he never had any expectation. He never felt that I've done so many years of service, therefore I should get privileges. I've done so many years of service, then Krishna should provide this for me. I've done so many years of sadhana and service. Why are such things happening? No. Because he never expected anything. Because a devotee's motto in life is everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And one final picture. This is Jayananda Prabhu in the final days, when he had contracted leukemia. But still you can see in his very bad health situation, he was always serving the devotees. Even when he went into hospital, they dropped him in the hospital. The devotees came back the day after and they saw an amazing sight in the hospital ward. When they came to where Jayananda's room was in the hospital, they found Jayananda Prabhu sleeping on the floor next to the bed. And they looked up at the bed and on the bed there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada. So the devotee said, Jayananda Prabhu, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping on the floor? So Jayananda Prabhu said, last night I was sleeping on the bed, but there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada on the table next to me. And all night I could not sleep because I was thinking, how can I be in a higher position than my spiritual master? Therefore, I couldn't sleep. Therefore, I had to come off the bed, sleep on the floor, and put Srila Prabhupada in the higher position. And then I got a very good night's rest. This was Jayananda Prabhu. So humble, so hardworking, so heartwarming. And a person who was always thinking about how to give Krishna to others. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada said, all the devotees should learn about the life of Jayananda Prabhu, because he was the first saint in ISKCON, because he had actually developed the purity of what it means to actually be a Vaishnava. And the final picture I'll show you, this picture I showed you at the beginning, this on the left here is Jayananda Prabhu's mother. And I'll tell you an amazing story. This happened some 15 years ago. There was one devotee, her name was Kalindi, and she is a nursing home worker. So every day she would go in and out of the nursing home. And what happened is every day she would go in with tilak on, because she was a devotee. One day she was leaving the nursing home and she found out that there was one lady who was very close to dying. So she thought, let me go and give some help. So she went there and saw the lady. She walked out and then the lady's daughter came up to Kalindi and she said, are you a Hare Krishna? So Kalindi said, yes, I'm a Hare Krishna. So the daughter said, you maybe know my brother. She said, maybe, what's his name? So the lady said, his name is Jim Kaur. So Kalindi said, it doesn't ring a bell. Then the lady said, his spiritual name was Jayananda. And then Kalindi said, Jayananda? You mean the Jayananda, the Prabhupada disciple Jayananda, the pure devotee Jayananda? She said, yes, the one who built the carts for you guys for the festivals. Kalindi said, my God, that's your brother. So this lady who's about to leave the world, that's Jayananda's mother. She said, yes. And then feeling, my God, the mother of a pure devotee, Kalindi thought, let me do some final service for her. So she brought Tulsi, she brought Ganga Jal, she had the chanting of Prabhupada going on. And then in this divine atmosphere, Jayananda Prabhu's mother left the world. So in the Bhagavatam it's mentioned that if someone becomes a pure devotee, then many, many generations of the family get the opportunity for liberation just because of the service and purity of one devotee in the family. So just because of Jayananda's purity, his mother got this opportunity at the end of her life. So in the same way, we all become pure devotees. Then not only we benefit, but our entire family benefits from the devotion that we have for Krishna. And this is very much seen in the life of Jayananda. So, this is the final quote to share with you. The spiritual master lives forever in his instructions, and the follower lives with him. So anyone who's following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, anyone who's following their guru's instructions, they are living with their guru moment to moment, even now. And Jayananda Prabhu was such an example of following the instructions of the spiritual master. So Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Those were just some thoughts I wanted to share with you on Jayananda Prabhu. A very, very amazing Vaishnav. How to glorify a Vaishnav is not possible, actually. But I try to share with you some of these qualities. Let us think very deeply about these qualities. To become hardworking. To become humble. To become selfless and not expect anything for the devotional service that we're doing. To always be in the mood of giving Krishna to others. And if we develop these beautiful qualities that were demonstrated in the life of Jayananda Prabhu, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we will attain Krishna's lotus feet. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. There are many wonderful Vaishnavas on the call, so if you would like to make any comments or if you would like to ask any questions, then maybe we can have a little bit of discussion.
So thank you very much, Sutta Prabhu. That was very much enlivening. And so how do we do this? If anybody wants to question, do they raise their hand or do they type in? What is the best way?
Can everyone unmute? Yeah, then you can maybe call out.
Yes, so
yeah, call out your names.
Yeah, if you raise your hand, then I will unmute you, or you can unmute. Then.
Okay. Also, I have some questions that have been sent privately to me.
Okay, privately to you.
So, shall I raise these questions first?
Please, yes, please.
Normally, a humble devotee takes time to acknowledge all the devotees that he comes across, even if he has many services. Is that correct? Okay, everyone got the question? This person is making, I don't know who this is, but this is it true that if someone is actually humble, then they will recognize and say hello to everyone, Hari Bol to everyone, even when they're busy? Nice question. A devotee, a Vaishnav, has respect for everyone. A Vaishnav doesn't just have respect for the senior people. A Vaishnav respects senior people, respects peers, respects juniors. What to speak of that, a Vaishnav even respects non-devotees. So a Vaishnav must have respect for everyone. However, sometimes we must also be understanding. Vaishnavas may be busy. Vaishnavas may be going through some difficulty in their own life. Sometimes Vaishnavas may have many things on their mind. And therefore, sometimes you may walk past a Vaishnava and sometimes a Vaishnava may not say hello or may not acknowledge you. You should not always take it so personally. Once I watched a YouTube video and it was like, someone was going on the video and there were many, many people walking towards him, all with different expressions. So sometimes we make a judgment on a devotee just from their expression. But then in a bubble above the person, what was being explained is what this person has just gone through. So the person was walking down, he was looking very serious. So when you look at the person, you think, oh, this is a miserable person, you know, like what's wrong with him? Why can't he just smile? But then in the bubble above him, he explained, this person's mother just passed away 2 days ago.
Yes.
And then you realize, oh my God, that's why he looks like that. So, yeah, we must always see that there is always something behind the activities of Vaishnavas. We should not also be too quick to judge. Prabhu, if you could just mute your mic, Philip Prabhu. Okay, I can mute him. So don't feel bad. Sometimes a Vaishnav, you may feel, why is he not acknowledging me, this or that. It may just be some practical situation. But a true Vaishnav has respect for everyone. Yeah. Okay, yeah, over to you, Gauranataraj Prabhu, if there's any other questions anyone has.
Thank you very much.
If anyone wants to unmute themselves and ask a question. That's also possible. Anyone have any question they would like to ask or comment or make a comment?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very nice class.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
My daughter says it's the best class she heard ever.
Oh, really? Thank you. Because it's the best devotee we're speaking about, wonderful devotees. So. Sure. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Being hardworking, being humble, being sincere, not desiring any respect, trying to avoid criticizing others.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Meenakshi Mataji.
The devotee that you never forget is the one who has been humble and come across, to go an extra mile to help you.
Yes. People may forget what you say, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Actions speak louder than words sometimes, as I was mentioning. So, the basis for a community is when we can be very much in the mood of serving each other. We can talk many things about relationships, which is good. We can discuss many things, but the real bonds we develop are the bonds which are built from serving together and serving each other. And when we see this selflessness in others, you see, say for example, Meenakshi does something for me selflessly. What will happen is that I will become so touched by her selflessness. I will become so touched by her humility that I will feel I should also give something back. I should also reciprocate. So then what will happen is then I'll go to Gaur Nataraj Prabhu and I'll try and serve him selflessly because someone did that to me. And then when he feels that, he will feel, oh my God, that's amazing. Maybe I should do that for someone else. And like this, everyone then begins serving each other and the whole mood of selflessness comes about. But if we are very selfish, if I'm very selfish towards Gaur Nataraj Prabhu, he won't feel like this, I'm sure. He's a very good devotee, very magnanimous. But if I do something selfish and Gaur Nataraj sees it, he may also feel, oh, he's so selfish. And, you know, maybe I should not also be so giving, you know. Like, why should I reciprocate with such a selfless, selfish person? Then we also become a little bit close. And then someone else will become closed. And like this, the community then goes separate. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his math, in the ashram, he would always tell every brahmachari, do 3 selfless things for someone every day. And the whole atmosphere will become like Vaikuntha. So yes, the humble service that someone does for us touches our hearts. And this is the foundation of the community.
Thank you, Maharaj. I've got another question that kind of bothers me a lot. Maybe I'm incorrect and I can be corrected. What I find is that, you know, like temples, like a Gujarati temple or a Hindu temple, they are a community. There, each person is, you know, looked after in death, birth, you know, that their connection with them, their children of generations. Is that true of ISKCON temples, that type of community?
So sometimes in Hindu temples, or sometimes we find in many other...
You take example of Ilford temple, you take example of, you know, Gita temples, all people will together stand by if somebody's died or something to go together or something has happened. They will contribute together. That, you know, I don't know whether because they've been there with big temples from 30, 40 years when they got grants, where ISKCON temples are privately. I'm not sure why that community sense is yet to develop in ISKCON temples.
Thank you for this nice question. Community means to care for each other on every level. On the level of the spiritual level, on the level of the emotional level, on the level of physical level. We need to care for each other in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
Not just that community means giving spiritual knowledge to others. Yes, that's important. But we also have to practically care for each other as well. That's what it really means to be a community. Otherwise, you know, if we talk so much in our classes and then tomorrow you say, you know, oh, Prabhuji, I'm in lockdown. I can't get my groceries. Can you go and get me some fruit so I can make some prasadam? The devotee says, no, I'm chanting my rounds. I've got to go to an online class. I don't have time for this. No, then there's no community. So we must work towards that. We must work towards building that community, whether it's ISKCON Manchester, whether it's ISKCON London. Prabhupada said, I built a house in which the whole world can live. So this is our real family. The devotees are our real family. But now let me just be very, very honest and real with all of you. The difference between ISKCON and maybe a Hindu temple, a Gujarati temple, there's a difference. And one of the differences that Srila Prabhupada brought together people coming from many diverse backgrounds. So if you look at all of us on this call, we're all from very diverse backgrounds. Culturally, we come from different countries. you know, economically we come from different backgrounds. Socially, we were all brought up in different ways. Frankly, sometimes if you look in ISKCON, you'll never find such a mix of people in one place at one time. Whereas if you go to the Hindu temple, it will be all Gujaratis who grew up together with a similar culture, and therefore already they're like a family. You see? But in ISKCON, we are coming from very different material backgrounds. However, the glory of devotional service, the glory of Srila Prabhupada, and the glory of the Hare Krishna mantra is that it brought all of us together, even though we're so different. But still, in our community sometimes, we're not able to connect with each other deeply because still culturally we're very, very different. So gradually what we have to do in our communities is break down the cultural barriers and start seeing each other as Vaishnavas, not seeing that, oh, that's a South Indian devotee. Oh, that's a Bengali devotee. Oh, that's an English devotee. No, no. These things, once we come to spiritual life, we're learning to leave behind. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paratvaina nirmalam. All designations we leave behind and we connect as Vaishnavas. So your point is very good and it will take time. Because in other temples, it's almost like they're already a family because they're all of the same cultural background. But we are learning to be a family. Sometimes, look at all the devotees on this call, okay? Many of the devotees on this call, we would not be friends with if it wasn't for Krishna consciousness. It's a fact. You know, one time we were in the Brahmacharya ashram and we looked all around. There was a devotee from Africa, a devotee from India, a devotee from Croatia, a devotee from Australia. And we looked at each other and we said, actually, practically on a material level, we don't have anything in common. The only thing we have in common is that we're all trying to serve Krishna. And to be honest, that's the most important thing. Therefore, we're all together. But still, because we're in material mentality, we're having boundaries between each other. So real community means to go beyond those boundaries, to learn about each other, to appreciate each other, even when we come from different cultures, and then to go forward and care for each other. And then ISKCON will become what Srila Prabhupada wanted it to become. Srila Prabhupada was going past the United Nations building. And Srila Prabhupada laughed because he said, this is supposed to be the United Nations, but every time I go past this building, there's more flags. If there's more flags, then in what sense are they becoming united? It means they're becoming more disunited. So we want ISKCON to be the United Nations of the spiritual world. And that means a place where all people from all cultural backgrounds, white, black, Indian, whatever it may be, come together, love each other, serve each other, and genuinely connect as Vaishnavas, leaving all material designations behind. That is the purpose of ISKCON.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I find that, you know, with Jayapataka Maharaj, he reaches to all different communities. I know all Maharajis do, but the kind of, you know, when it's Jayapataka Maharaj, they think of him just as, you know, they love him so much. It doesn't matter what community they, you know, from what background they come, whether they're Russian, Chinese, because, you know, when you're in Mayapur with all these different groups for the parikrama, and yet we all come together and everybody's all charged up in his presence.
Yes. So when we come together and we chant and we have Krishna Katha and we serve each other, then actually we forget about all of these identities and we connect on the soul level. And this is real Vaishnava relationship. And this is what we have to do. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for that. And Madhav Kumar Prabhu, you raised your hand earlier on.
Madhav Kumar Prabhu, our book distribution hero.
So he's distributing Bhagavatam set even in the lockdown.
Oh, yes. I heard. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. It was amazing.
Thank you, Kumar.
A lot of your thoughts echo with us very, very strongly. I just wanted to quickly add to what you said about the community spirit. On the contrary to what Mataji was referring to, I actually, having come to ISKCON, understood the concept of life, soul, different from the body, got a better understanding of how to treat an individual at any stage of life, not just at the time of death. So my perspective completely changed. Having come to ISKCON, and not really ISKCON India, but ISKCON Manchester more, where we are a small community and we had a few opportunities to be part of these life events in some devotees' personal lives. So much so that we got an inspiration to deal with these situations in our own lives in a much more composed, relaxed, a calm and an appropriate manner. So I think on the contrary to what others might sometime perceive, ISKCON or this Vaishnava education actually gives us the right perspective to deal with these life situations in the most appropriate manner.
Thank you so much. Yes, yes.
And sorry.
No, continue.
No, I was just going to... Sid, thank you really. And also your comment on trying to connect with the Vani, not really worrying too much about the Vapu element also resonates with us very, very clearly, especially for our current situation where we're not able to physically associate. I was listening to Bhakti Rasayan Swami Maharaj earlier this week. And he narrates a very small, interesting pastime. Prabhupada, in his early times, when he took the devotees to Mayapur, you might have heard this one. One young devotee questioned Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, I've heard that only the devotees who are very close to you are getting your mercy more, and not the other devotees who are toiling and doing all the other sevas here and there. So Prabhupada took that question, and in Mayapur there are lots of paddy fields, rice fields, so there are quite a few mosquitoes. So Prabhupada pointed at a mosquito who was sat on his hand, and he said, this creature is the closest to me, more than any of you, but what does he want? He wants to suck my blood, so I'm not going to give him any mercy. So from Prabhupada's own example, he made it important that it's critical to have the attitude of applying the instruction of the guru than to try and jump about getting the attention and have Vapu presence with the guru instead. So thank you for sharing all of that. You know, all of that resonates with us very, very strongly. Just appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
His Holiness Karamakanana Swami came to the movement in 1978, so he just missed Srila Prabhupada, as in because Srila Prabhupada left the world in 77. So once in a class, one devotee said to Maharaj, you just missed Srila Prabhupada. That was so unfortunate. Like just 1 year and you missed Srila Prabhupada. And Maharaj looked at him and he said, missed Srila Prabhupada? I'm meeting Srila Prabhupada every single day. I know more about Srila Prabhupada than I know about even my own father. And Srila Prabhupada touched my life so much and inspired me so much by his instructions that every day when I apply myself to his instructions and serve his movement, every single day I come face to face with Srila Prabhupada. So the spiritual master lives forever in his instructions and the follower lives with him. So every day we can wake up and come face to face with Srila Prabhupada. We can walk with Srila Prabhupada every single day as long as we live in the line of the instructions that he's given us and the service that he's given us. And therefore, his service, one time a devotee was giving a class in Vrindavan and said, many people sometimes say, I didn't get a direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada. Like, you know, you are so fortunate. You got a direct instruction. I never got a direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada. And this devotee said, Prabhupada gave two direct instructions to every single person in this movement. Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma jar janma sarthaka kari kar apara upakar. Number one instruction, make your life successful by becoming a pure devotee. It is not casual business to become a pure devotee. It requires intensity, it requires sincerity, and it requires patience and determination. Prabhupada said, first thing, become a pure devotee, pada upakar, and then help other people become pure devotees. That's it. That's the instruction. And if you dedicate your life to those two instructions, becoming a pure devotee and helping others become a pure devotee, you will be living with Srila Prabhupada every single day.
Also, Maharaj, to add to yours, he said that we as devotees must all cooperate in this movement.
Yes.
Sure, thank you.
We must cooperate. And one devotee once came up to me and said, Prabhuji, Prabhupada said your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate. So make sure you cooperate with me.
What about you?
I said, I don't know if that's exactly what Prabhupada, but yes, we must cooperate. It's so difficult in Kali Yuga. It's the age of quarrel. So over any little thing, we become disunited. We become fault-finding in others. So we must go beyond these tendencies. Yes, thank you.
Sumedha wants to ask a question.
Sumedha. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Sumedha, you're very intelligent. You've got all the answers already.
No. Prabhuji, thank you so much for this class. It's really inspiring. I've actually, many times we've seen Jainan Prabhu's photo on the red cart.
I've wondered what
is the story behind this, and it's a very nice class behind it, so thank you very much. The quality you mentioned, the striking feature of Jainan Prabhu, is that everyone who met him realized that he's so selfless and he's so humble, and that humility is one of his most striking features. So my question is, how can we develop that humility to that extent so that we can also take from Prabhupada's example and we can also apply it in our own lives?
Thank you so much.
Prabhupada, while you're answering that question, also my question was, how can you develop enthusiasm like he did? So you can do both together.
Is that Bharti speaking?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Okay. So how can you develop the humility and the enthusiasm?
Enthusiasm. Thank you.
Thank you. These are questions which require many, many talks and have many, many perspectives, but we can only answer what immediate inspiration comes to me today, and the answer will be much deeper, but let's at least say something. Regarding humility, let us meditate in every situation how to be a servant. If in every situation you're thinking, how can I be a servant in this situation? How can I help others in this situation? Then what will happen is you will become humble. Because to become humble, what it means is to take yourself out of the center. When we are in the center, then we will never be able to be humble. So they say humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself. It doesn't mean to think I'm terrible, I'm rubbish, I can't do anything. Humility means to think of yourself less. It means don't constantly be thinking about my desires, my plans, my enjoyment, my happiness. As soon as you start thinking about others, then you'll notice actually that the humility comes. Because humility means to take yourself out of the center. And ultimately, in the beginning, we have to fake it till you make it. Sometimes we don't feel so humble, no? Someone says something, and in your mind, you're doing backflips. But outside, you have to say, okay, Guruji, okay, I'll accept it. So sometimes we have to externally maintain etiquette. We have to sometimes fake it. We have to tolerate. But then internally, when we do deep sadhana, when we purify our hearts, then by Krishna's grace, Ridyanta Stohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surat Satam, Krishna says, when you do nice hearing and chanting, then I'll cleanse all of the anarthas and this humility will naturally shine forth. So those are some things you can meditate on, humility. Always try to think of serving others. Always try to take yourself out of the center. And externally, always maintain etiquette, even when sometimes you don't feel humble. And then ultimately, do very deep sadhana and pray for Krishna's mercy. Tell Krishna, I am not humble. I am very proud. Rupa Goswami says, Matsamo nasti papatma na paradi chakaschana parihare pilajjame kimbruve purushottam. Krishna, I'm not humble. I'm not proud. You will not find anyone who has more anarthas in their heart than me. But still, I'm praying for your mercy. So we must pray, Krishna. How can I speak about humility when I'm not humble? So maybe one day if I become humble, I can give you some more realized answer to that question. But these are some things I've heard from the Vaishnavas. And regarding enthusiasm, Bharti, what to say? We must be with enthusiastic people. You see, when you associate with Vaishnavas, try to find out those Vaishnavas who are enthusiastic, who are having desire to go forward in their spiritual life, who are very sincere, who are trying to become pure devotees in their life. And when you find Vaishnavas like that, when you associate with Vaishnavas like that, then their enthusiasm, their sincerity, their desire, you will find that you start stealing some of that from them. So we are all transcendental thieves. Actually, that's my business. I just go around all the different yatras, and I love coming to Manchester and searching out all the enthusiastic devotees, and I try to steal a little bit of their enthusiasm because we are surviving on the Vaishnavas. So let us always be in very good sadhu sangha. Let us always be with enthusiastic devotees. Let us always hear about enthusiastic devotees like Jayananda Prabhu, who by his enthusiasm, the boy said, if the dustbin man in this temple is so enthusiastic and happy, I can't imagine what everyone else is like. He convinced him just by his enthusiasm. So yes, utsaha nischayat dhairyat tat tat karma pravartanat sangotagat satovrite sadbir bhaktir prasidyati. Rupa Goswami says, it all begins with utsahan, enthusiasm. So when you, in the future, will get second initiation and receive the Gayatri mantras, then the Gayatri mantras are all about enthusiasm because we're praying to Guru. Just as you are enthused, you see, the Guru is so enthused. Have you seen our gurus, our spiritual leaders? They are tireless. Lecture after lecture, day after day, year after year, the same thing. Giving Krishna, helping others, serving. how enthused they are. So then we pray to the Guru, just as you are enthused, may I also become similarly enthused. And like this, we live off the enthusiasm of the Vaishnavas.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I think you'll have to come to Manchester a lot more because you're so enthusiastic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Any other questions or any other comments before we wind it up? Looks like there are no, Prabhu, no other questions.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Early to bed, early to rise.
last question, if I can ask.
Yes, oh. iPhone. Yes, who is that? Sorry.
This is Vamsid Haridas here.
Oh, Dandavas Pranam. So go on, Prabhu.
Another illustrious book distributor.
Yes.
Prabhuji, thank you so much. From beautiful description and the depth you went in, I realized, two things that Jainan Prabhu had, which is, you know, very distinguished, is one was simplicity and second was no criticism quality. And because we stay with Vaishnavas, but also a lot of us Grihasthas, we go out work, it becomes sometimes unconscious nature to criticize, and that creeps in. And work life, it also creeps in Vaishnav dealings. How does one, in spite of constant practicing, do not criticize? You know, we fail. I fail oftentimes. And because, you know, the way you are evaluated outside is your discerning ability and ability to first quickly find out which one is not useful for you outside in the material world. Same thing comes up in the spiritual world. And then when you deal with devotees, the automation of the mind is constantly at work. How does one actually attain that state that Jainan Prabhu was in? Can't even imagine. I've seen few devotees that I can sense their energies like it would have been Jainan Prabhu's energy. How to actually attain that? Some practical ways, if you can enlighten us.
Yes. You see, some Vaishnavas come into this world with many blessings, and so many of these things come automatically for them. For some of us, we like me, we have to work very hard to develop these qualities. I'll answer the essence of your question, which is when we're working and living and functioning in the outside world, how can we avoid getting into this fault finding or critical or becoming compromised by material association, descending into lower nature and to maintain. Again, many things can be said. Today I'll say this to you. We must realize that we are in this world, our job, our career, our life outside. This is almost like a computer game. You see, when you're a grown-up and you play a computer game with the kids take it very, very seriously, isn't it? Like you're playing Xbox. But the kids take it like real serious. But you know, this is just a computer game. How serious will you take it?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, when we're working, when we're functioning outside, when we're dealing with the material world, we take it very, very seriously. But what happens is when we become inspired by the broader goal of life, when we become inspired by Krishna and the spiritual world, when we become inspired by the prospect of leaving this world and going back to the association of the Vaishnavas eternally, yeah. And we're so captured and enchanted by that goal, then actually this world, we don't take it actually so serious.
Mm.
When you're on the road and someone cuts into your lane, you don't horn and you don't shout and you don't curse, because what does it matter? Is it really important? In the supermarket, if someone jumps the queue, you won't become so angry because you think, what is this anyway? Why you take such a thing so seriously? Yeah. In work, if someone is doing something devious to kind of, you know, get a little bit ahead of you, then you say, it's okay, you go. No problem. I've got bigger things to do in my life. Mm. So we must become people who are seeing the bigger picture always. We must become inspired by our spiritual journey. We must become inspired by our spiritual goal. Mm. And then the things that happen in the world and the interactions, you do it, you go to work, you're dutiful, you know, you play the part, but you don't take it so seriously. Because you know, this is not real life. I'm in this job. How long will I be in this job for? I'm in this car driving. How long will I be here for? I'm in this supermarket doing some shopping. How long for? We just, as Shakespeare said, all the world is a stage. And every person is having their entrances and exits. So why do we take it so seriously? Because we haven't become sufficiently inspired and absorbed in the bigger spiritual goal that we're trying to achieve.
Mm.
And therefore we take the small things of this world very seriously.
Yes.
So that's why we read the books. That's why we chant every morning. You see, why do we do early morning sadhana? Because before you go into the small world of material life, you need to awaken yourself to the big reality of spiritual life.
Mm.
And when you do that in the morning and you elevate your consciousness, then when you go into the material world during the day, you're looking at it from an elevated spiritual consciousness. So you don't get into the dogfights of the material world.
Mm. Thank you.
Because Dayananda Maharaj used to say to me, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. We don't want to get into the rat race. That means in the morning, we must have elevated our consciousness. So in the day, we're not dragged into all these small. And even within the devotee community, how much unnecessary quarrels and things we get into because we are not seeing the bigger picture.
Mm.
So let us all become deeper. Let us all become more absorbed in the spiritual goal of life.
Thank you, Guruji.
Okay, so Sutta Parvabhu, it's 9:10 nearly.
Yes.
And so on behalf of the Manchester congregation, we are very grateful. And so thank you so much.
It's pleasure
very, very inspiring and very enlightening. It's not a good class, it's a great class. Which will inspire and motivate others. So thank you so much. And let's say three loud Hari Bols to Sutapa Prabhu. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!